You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is a pretty special one. We are joined by three absolute local experts. We're joined by Lorna Moles of Farrell HR, Saif Khan of Crosslands Solicitors and Linda Mosley of Brighter Changes. This is the Business Brunch. After this, we'll be speaking with our three experts all about redundancies and managing them the right way. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you aren't just tuning in, today we're talking about managing redundancies the right way. And to do that, we're joined by three absolute local experts. So let's start by introducing them. Lorna, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay. For those who aren't fortunate enough to know you, please introduce you and indeed your business.
Thank you very much, Ben. Great to be here. So my name's Lorna Moles. I run a business called Farrell HR. It's an HR consultancy that launched in 2024. And I launched that following actually my own redundancy after 20 years in large global corporate HR roles. Farrell HR is based in Oxfordshire, but I actually support businesses nationwide, mainly supporting them to grow and future-proof their businesses through their people.
Amazing. And next up, Saif, welcome. And please introduce you.
Thanks, Ben. I'm Saif Khan. I'm a solicitor at Crossland Employment Solicitors. And as the name may suggest, we are employment solicitors based in Abingdon, in Milton Park. And we assist businesses and employees with all sorts, frankly, when it comes to employment law. So often we will be largely in support of people like Lorna and as we'll be introduced to shortly, with Linda as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And last but definitely not least, Linda.
Hi. So I'm Linda Mosley. I run Brighter Changes Personal and Professional Development. I've been a development coach for well over 20 years now. And I specialise in sort of two sides of something very similar. So I work with small business owners to help them with to manage their mindset and their time and their energy so that they can sustain their performance and still have a really good life full of well-being and an enjoyable life outside their work. And also the same thing from a different angle, I work in helping people with outplacement coaching or redundancy coaching or career and transition coaching, I prefer to call it. And that's really about the same thing. It's about maintaining self-belief, feeling confident, feeling able to make decisions, not getting lost in what on earth do I do now, about feeling really comfortable with your identity, what you're doing, being great at work and still managing your well-being at the same time.
Amazing. Linda, there's three short straws this morning and that all three of them are to be a DJ just for a moment. There's going to be a high bar. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Okay, so I surprised myself when you asked me this because I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to pick? But actually it came to me quite easily. And what I've chosen is Shine by Take That. And I thought that was really appropriate for this morning. Not only is it a great tune, but it's a song that was actually written by the other members of Take That for Robbie Williams when he was going through a really dark time. And the lyrics of that song are just fantastic. It's about, the words are just, you know, stop being so hard on yourself. You know, your time is coming. It's about embracing your strength and your potential despite any challenges that you're facing. So I thought, uplifting tune, fantastic words. It's great for this morning.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. For those just tuning in, today we're talking about managing redundancies the right way. And to do that, we're joined by three absolute experts, Lorna of Farrell HR, Safe from Crossland Employment Law Solicitors, and Linda of Brighter Changes. So let's start the roundtable discussion. And Lorna, I'm going to pick on you first with a big question. So how do you manage redundancies the right way?
That is such a big question. It's a great question. I have unfortunately dealt with many redundancy situations and consultations in my career. Single role deletions, larger redundancy exercises requiring collective consultation. None of them are easy. And then obviously I've been through it myself latterly, recently. I think that the main thing that I always come at these situations with is compassion and communication. So compassion, because there are people at the heart of it, whether this is because, you know, there's a business downturn, there's a change in the way you're doing things. It's never easy. You're dealing with people's lives. You're dealing with people's well-being. You're dealing with their ability to pay their bills and do nice things with their families, go on holidays. It's really, really tough, especially in the current climate. So I think remembering that compassion, and yes, it's a process, and there's obviously a legal process to follow, as Safe will know, but you've got to come at it with compassion and remember the human at the heart of it. And then I also say communication, because I have seen too many times where leaders are perhaps not communicating fully, transparently, openly. It can be difficult to be transparent in these situations, but as far as you can, I always encourage it, because it just helps to build the trust in that difficult time.
No, some really great points there, Lorna. Safe, what's your take on this? And what are some of the legal considerations that Lorna touched on there?
Yeah, well, firstly, I agree fully with Lorna. I think creating a good environment, even when there is, you know, redundancies looming, which can be tough for everyone, frankly, is probably essential more than anything. And then further down the line, of course, with the legalities, making sure you're very open with your communications when you are putting roles at risk, whether it's a single role or multiple, frankly. And then going through consultations, and again, being as open as you possibly can, being open to the idea of potentially avoiding redundancy if a good suggestion pops up as to how to avoid it, because essentially that is the purpose of consultation. And then ultimately being very proactive in looking for suitable alternative employment if it is available at the company. It just all of those things, if you can compile them all together and manage the process, as Lorna says, in a compassionate way, I think you can't really go too wrong, even if it does, unfortunately, result in redundancies at the end of it.
No, some really good points. And Linda, I think both Lorna and Safe have rightly touched on there about the people element. What's your take from a people side and ensuring that regardless of the outcome, it is a good outcome for all involved, or the best outcome it can be?
Yeah, and I think that's important for individuals to remember that it can be a good thing. Because even though if it's not a situation that you have brought about change for yourself, if it's been kind of done to you, it can feel like the rug's been pulled out of under your feet. It can feel, I think because I deal with individuals through this rather than dealing with big teams and from the corporate side of things, I think those two words that Lorna and Safe you've used, the compassion and the communication, that's exactly the same as what people can do for themselves. So it's about self-compassion. It's about communication with yourself, what you're saying to yourself, how you're talking to yourself. I know that sounds a bit crazy, but, you know, we all do it. We all tell ourselves stuff. You know, people start to take it personally. And it's so much about maintaining that confidence, maintaining that self-belief, understanding what your transferable skills are and the fact that you do have stuff to offer, particularly if somebody has been in a role for a long, long time and they maybe haven't been through the job finding process for a while. But I think it's really important for people to realise that it could be something that is actually a positive thing. So many people have taken what seems to be a knock to start with and turned it into the almost a kick up the backside that they've actually really wanted. Like, what can I do now? This could be exciting. This could be a new change. It could be an opportunity. And it's about helping people to maintain that, believe in themselves, have the confidence to make decisions, get clarity on what they really want, and treat it as an opportunity, rather than something awful that has been done to them. If I could, don't want to get too technical here, but there was a in the very late 60s, there was a psychiatrist called Kubler-Ross. They probably heard of the change curve. And she actually discovered that, which was actually about the process that people go through with bereavement. And actually, losing a job is part of your identity, and it can be sometimes likened to feeling like that. And it's about how you deal with that and how you can deal with it positively, perceive it in a good way for you and make it a positive thing. And it is possible.
Well, what's your take on this, Lorna?
So I totally agree, Linda. I think, like you said, I've seen so many times that people go on to do more exciting and better things, and it's a turn in a corner, and like you say, a kick up the backside that they didn't know was needed. I've seen lots of times, and I've seen it with myself as well, where even if people have survived the redundancy process, should we say, they've secured a new role post a restructure, for example. That's why you still see people leaving businesses after that point, because actually it's almost woken them up to, oh, maybe I was a bit complacent. Maybe I've realized that there are different things out there for me. But I think it's very hard for the individual in that moment when you're talking about, your role is potentially at risk of redundancy. All they're hearing is, oh my goodness, what have I done wrong? This is personal. They can't see through that noise. So it's really about, I think, finding the right moment to talk about those opportunities and helping them to slowly see that even if things don't work out and they stay where they are, that there will be things on the other side, and hopefully better things for them.
Lorna, I'm keen to stay with you, and I'm very keen on safe views on this. Is the right time for redundancies? How, as an organisation, so a lot of business owners listen to this show, who may be worried about the future. And of course, we've all spoken about the importance of the impact to the people and the communication piece. How do you communicate internally, and how do you and use your accountant or your lawyer or your HR provider or your coach? How do you really make that decision in terms of, okay, maybe we do need to make redundancies? What's that decision-making process, and what are those factors?
So it depends on the reasons for redundancy. I mean, if there's a financial push or pull, you probably want to be acting sooner rather than later. But as is natural, I think business owners probably shy away from acting as quickly as they could or should be in these situations. But financially, perhaps you can't afford to wait. Sometimes if it's perhaps a restructure and that results in less roles, I do see businesses perhaps waiting for the right time. There is no right time, let's be honest. It's difficult news to deliver. What you should do, and I'll leave safe to go through the expert points here, but what you should do is have your house in order before you make any announcements. You need to be very clear on your business case as to why you are proposing potential redundancies. And you need to be very clear, and going back to the point on communication, you need to be able to answer people's questions during that consultation phase. So I think the right time is difficult to pinpoint, but as soon as you have all of the information, try not to wait. And I think in terms of the wrong time, I would not be suggesting, unless it couldn't be avoided, that anyone seeks to go into redundancy consultation prior to Christmas, for example.
Safe, what's your takes there?
No, I completely agree. I think it's essential that you do, as Lorna says, get your house in order before rolling out any announcements. And that can just be sort of a meeting between the HR team, and ensuring that you're all singing from the same hymn sheet when it does come to any announcement. And then further from that, essentially, when it does come to an announcement, delivering it, whether it's in a town hall type environment, or whether you are just discussing it with employees on a sort of individual basis, however a business does want to go about it, I don't think there's a particularly right or wrong way when it comes to that. It's essentially, as Lorna says, ensuring that you are being open as possible. If it is, due to financial reasons, you can be very upfront about that, frankly, and it does further down the line sort of dispel a lot of challenges from employees, for one, but also from the employees' perspective. The reason why they're not challenging it so much is that they can see a rational requirement for the redundancies potentially. And then, as you're going through the actual consultations, as I mentioned, ensuring that despite the financial burdens that you might think are crippling the business, if there is possibly a way for that to be avoided, if an employee comes up with a suggestion as to, a new material that might save you millions of pounds in the long run, then being open to that suggestion, because ultimately a business doesn't want to have to make redundancies. It's only usually done in particularly when they're going for financial constraints. But they're largely forced into it, of course, and it's not as if they're dismissing an employee based on bad conduct or due to poor performance. It's very much due to business needs usually.
No, some really, really good points there. Saif, as with Linda and Lorna, later in the show, you also have agreed to be a radio DJ just for a moment. So what's your song choice and why have you picked it?
I perhaps haven't been as creative as Linda, and it's only because this song is on my mind, having watched the second latest season of Stranger Things. But Kate Bush running up that hill is definitely on my mind, and can't seem to get it out of there right now. People in the office are probably very annoyed if I do hum it while I'm here, actually.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, I definitely recommend listening back to the podcast version, because we're joined by three great local experts who have kindly agreed to share their time, their knowledge and their expertise with you, the listener, to talk about really, I think quite frankly, a challenging topic that can have really challenging and stressful implications, certainly if not dealt with the right way. Linda, I'm keen to bring the conversation onto you, if that's okay, and really talk about the level of support for individuals. I appreciate we're all human. We are all human, and there isn't a one size fits all with humans, is there? But when you've announced redundancies or announced potential redundancies, what are some of the things you can do to support your staff as individuals in terms of giving them the information and giving them the tools and giving them the metaphoric arm around them to enable them to be as okay as they can be?
I think it's, there's nothing that can be done to take away that pressure. That is, I think that's something that it's about. Like any kind of change, it's about getting to the point where you accept it. You don't necessarily have to embrace it, but it's about accepting it rather than, because it's a human thing to kind of put your head in the sand, isn't it, and take away, try and avoid things that are unpleasant. And I think it's very much about, for individuals, it's about helping them, depending on the length of what this process is. I've worked with companies that, that have said there are going to be redundancies, but it's not happening for over a year, and then it was not over 18 months, and then it's and so the work that I do with individuals on that basis is helping them to stay motivated in what they're actually doing, which can be really, really tough. If you know that you're going and your role is disappearing, to try and stay motivated when you're actually doing it is quite difficult. I think it's also about helping people to see that it is a process. So when the time comes, or before that, because you can do a lot of planning before that without putting more pressure on yourself, it's about not feeling, oh my goodness, I have to make a decision now. It's about trying to alleviate some of that pressure. It's about helping people to look at, okay, let's take stock, and that's really important because it helps people feel better. It's take stock. Let's see where I am. What have I got that can be useful? What do I need? Where are my gaps? Even if, whether it's practical stuff or emotional stuff, it's like, straightforward practical stuff, CVs, LinkedIn, How do I feel able to make applications? Do I feel what on earth would I put? What kind of thing do I want to apply for? These kind of things. It's about taking the pressure off that, oh my goodness, I have to decide this now. Because actually, Jen, normally you don't have to do that. And that's a reaction that, ah, you know, so it's like, oh, okay, let's calm down, take it at the pace that's right for you, right for individuals. I think that's really, really important. And also deciding with them, is it more practical support you need, or is it more emotional support? And everybody is different, and it might go from one to the other and back again.
No, really, really interesting. Lorna, I'm keen to bring the conversation to very small businesses potentially, or moreover, the single redundancy. I'm really keen to discuss, and I'm sure Saif will have some good insight as well. The difference between a redundancy and dismissal. So you've hired a marketing person. It's really not working out. You've decided that you're going to outsource your marketing, so you no longer need that role. How do you decide, and maybe that's a bad example, but how do you decide where something is a redundancy or indeed a dismissal or another option? What are some of the things to consider there?
Yeah. So firstly, redundancy is one of the fair reasons for dismissal. So redundancy is a dismissal. In other words, it's the employer deciding to terminate the employment, but not for a reason in terms of anything that that person has done wrong. And I think that's where, like we talked earlier, people sometimes feel it's personal and they've done something wrong. So I think, you know, distinguishing between the why are we looking to remove this role, and remember it's the role and not the person. If you're thinking, I need to remove this person, you're probably thinking that there's something not working out in terms of their performance or perhaps their fit within the company. That's a topic for a completely different show, probably, in terms of managing performance, and businesses often don't always get this right because it's difficult conversations. But I think if you've been able to distinguish that actually there's a genuine reason for no longer needing that position or no longer needing 10 positions, and perhaps you only need five. There's a reduction in the work. There's a different way of doing the work. Like you said, perhaps you're outsourcing it. Then that decision is it's a redundancy process. So there is obviously the guidance and the legal procedure that we have to follow. It does differ depending on the numbers. For an individual single role deletion or one redundancy of one role, that can be a much shorter process, but I would always encourage those small business owners, or indeed if they're larger, but it's one role, still take your time if you can. Don't just, you know, come in one day and say, sorry, you're off tomorrow. Actually, it's allowing, like Linda alluded to, that person to go through that change curve, to have a meaningful consultation, to have the conversation, to ask the questions, and importantly, for you to ensure that you're giving them any support that they need. But yeah, there's definitely a difference between a redundancy dismissal and a dismissal for perhaps conduct reasons or performance reasons.
And of course, none of our clients would work in this way, Safe. Of course they wouldn't. But I think I have seen cases or heard cases where redundancy seems the easy option. So there's been a person within an organization who, as Lorna touched on, may well have been underperforming. Is redundancy a tool that you can use in that scenario? Actually, it makes that person feel better. Actually, we feel that we're doing the right thing. Or is that maybe not the right way to use redundancy? And I appreciate I'm going to put the caveat rather than you needing to. Of course, there isn't a one size fits all.
Absolutely, and you've beaten me to it on that one. And in terms of that, I do think that sometimes redundancy can, as you say, be seen as the easy option, the more friendly option, as it were. And if there is a genuine reduction in the requirement for a role, then you may need to make that redundant. And ultimately, it might not matter who the person is, and it can be seen as a softened blow at that point. Now, I would only caveat that with the fact that if a person is performing badly, then that potentially should have been communicated a lot earlier. And if that does, an informal performance management process does need to start, then that can often be sort of down to better management more than anything. And just ensuring that you have good oversight of a team, ensuring that you know who you're top performers are versus those that potentially aren't performing quite as well, and ensuring that you are managing those to sort of reach the higher levels. And ultimately, if following all of that, you can't, then I would suggest that managing the performance and potentially taking the more formal approach would be the better way. Just as sometimes, if it does come down to it, and an individual is particularly aggrieved by their dismissal and decides to pursue a claim for unfair dismissal, a business has to justify why it made that redundancy and show why it was reasonable. Now, the tribunal won't go all the way under to see why a restructure was particularly required. However, they would look at whether it was a reasonable decision. And ultimately, at that point, it might have been better in hindsight, rather, to have just dismissed them for their poor performance and managed that process over what might have been slightly longer time, but ultimately coming to a much fairer decision.
No, really, really, really good advice there. Really good advice. And I think, Linda, this would be a really good time to bring you in. And I appreciate, I'm going to give the caveat one more time. There isn't a one size fits all. How do you manage that piece in terms of, I think sales is a very easy one for us to be able to use as an example, in terms of you have a sales team of 20, two in the sales team are selling half of everyone else. And actually they're exiting the organization. A lot of employers want to do the right thing, but how can you ensure that that exit is as clean as possible? But also, how can you ensure that individual is given the tools to ensure that their next career move is the right one for them, and it works for them? Because I think a lot of employers, of course, you want your staff to all perform really well and be really happy, don't you? But that isn't reality. So how can you ensure that really good, I guess, future?
And I have come across, speaking to, I mean, I don't tend to work so much with the larger organizations. I work with the individuals, and I've had a lot of people come to me and say, I feel that my company has handled this really badly. And it's such a shame, and it really does have an impact on how people deal with the process for themselves. And that's where I think having somebody external come and work with your staff, whether it's a tiny amount of people or whether it's bigger, I think it's really important to have somebody like me or like a coach to come in and be able to do that. Because what that gives the individual is a bespoke set of ways to deal with this. Obviously, there are processes, there are procedures, there are legal pieces. That's not my area because that is for the company and the legal side and HR to sort out. When I'm working with an individual, it's just really important to be able for them to feel heard for a start. That is so important because it's quite unusual for people to really feel listened to have a little bit of time and space for them to be able to even access and acknowledge what they're really feeling about the process. And I think that being able to do that, helping them to find, even if something has gone wrong in that job, helping them to find, okay, so what could be right for me? Is it the wrong type of career? Is it that I was in the wrong environment? Do I need to jump ship completely, or do I stay in that kind of role but in a different company? Why maybe was I not so motivated? What did I like? What didn't I like? But taking the whole process from their point of view so that they can get clarity on what the next stage might be for them so that they can enjoy work. It's so important. So many people feel that they have to just get out of bed and pull themselves into work to pay the mortgage. But actually, if you're doing something you love, it can make a massive, massive difference. And that's what I'm about, helping people to be able to find that through that transition.
Amazing, amazing. No, great advice. And what's your take on that, Lorna?
Yeah, so I think it's really important whenever a business is planning or thinks that they might need to plan for redundancies, I'd always encourage them to look at, and hopefully that this is probably near the top of the list for a business owner, the cost of redundancy. Because, most of the time employees will have a right to some form of redundancy payment, even if it's statutory redundancy, but also things like notice pay if you're not asking them to work their notice or accrued holidays. What I would always do is get the business owner to consider the budget for the outplacement or career transition support that Linda provides, because, yes, it's an additional cost, but actually you as an employer have a duty towards the welfare of your employees, even if they're no longer going to be working for you. I think it goes such a long way if you can support people through that exit and through that change curve again, just to give them some options, and whether they take up that support whilst they're still employed, or whether they continue to take it up after they've left the business. It's so important that business owners are then actually allowing for that in their budgets when they're planning.
Amazing, amazing. Really keen to go back to Safe and indeed Linda on that point. But before that, let's have a song. Let's have a song. So remember your points. Lorna, there's been a high bar today. I hope you're feeling the pressure with this song choice. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
I am. Hopefully, I've picked a good one. So I have picked "Stronger" by Kelly Clarkson. So the key line in the chorus is, "What doesn't kill you makes you stronger." I love Kelly Clarkson, but I also love this song because it applies to so many different situations in life. I personally am a runner, so it's on my running playlist. And if I'm particularly tired or running up a hill, actually, Safe, your song's a good one for that. But actually, just to keep it in mind, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and probably quite apt for the topic that we're discussing today as well.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. As well as our three experts being absolute experts and brilliant in the world of people, particularly focused on redundancies for the purposes of today's show, they've got a good song choice as well, haven't they? So if you are just tuning in, we're today talking about managing redundancies the right way. And I think when selecting the panelists, I think it was really, really important that we had three wonderful businesses with great values. And I think that to me, it's really coming through that all three are so passionate about doing it the right way. Safe, just on Lorna's point before, what's your take there?
Yeah, I mean, Lorna makes a very great point about considering the budget. And I think when you are considering the budget, and this becomes quite a almost the easy option in any redundancy, if you do have the budget in particular, is that of a settlement agreement. Now, they're becoming more and more prevalent in redundancy scenarios more than anything. And ultimately, they are a great way to mitigate a risk for a business, and as well for an employee, there's sort of a dual incentive in that they can get a little bit more money out of it potentially as well, particularly if the budget is there. Now, that's easy for me to say, of course, as the lawyer, and then the mitigating risk on my part. However, as Lorna says, the budget should 100% be considered, and it should only really be thrown about if the budget is there and there's enough of an incentive for an employee to look at it and say, yeah, actually that does help, and that does, I mean, potentially get rid of any grievances they may have about the process. And ultimately, for an employer on the other side of this, they can in some ways shortcut the process. It doesn't have as much of a time limit to it as or a time constraint to it as an actual redundancy process might, or the burden of it rather. And it can turn a 30-day process into sometimes a week potentially, or I'd say a week, at least 2 weeks. So from that perspective, it can help both sides, and it can soften the blow for employees while also upholding the mitigation of any risk for an employer. And I appreciate I seem to be saying mitigation of risk, and that just seems to be lawyer talk, but it is just I have found that it does from both sides help quite a lot in some ways, just particularly given the time of year we're coming up to. Having a little bit more money in the pocket going into Christmas, for example, can really help.
No, really, really good point. I think across 250 of these shows, I think what one of the big trends have come across is doing the right thing. And I think if all parties feel that they're getting a fair deal and a good deal, I think you're a long way towards it. Linda, I could see you nodding frantically as Lorna was making her point, and indeed Safe. So what's your take on this? Because we've come full circle with our guests, haven't we?
No, I just wanted to say really, really quickly on the back of what Lorna was saying, and I think maybe in less lawyer speak, what Zeb was saying, it's also about the employer managing their reputation, because there's nothing worse for the employer than having to go through all that, and then if you have employees that have left with a grievance, that's not going to do the employer's reputation any good whatsoever. So even if the budget might be a little bit tight for the person that has been made redundant, if they can see that the employer hasn't tried to make an effort the best they can, that can only safeguard their reputation as an employer. And I think that can be very valuable for both, again, for both sides.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Lorna, I'm going to come back to you, and really come towards our final stint of the show, if that's okay. So we've shared some really, really good insight, and certainly I think that what I would encourage anyone listening to do is it's clearly a complex area. So if any business leader listening needs some practical advice, by all means reach out to the three of you. But one of the things we love to leave our listeners with is a top tip, a lasting tip. It doesn't need to be something new. It could just be highlight something we've discussed already, or indeed it could be something I've not asked you about that you would love to bring up. But what's your final tip to leave the listeners with?
The final tip to leave the listeners with on this topic is don't try and do it alone. Outsource. And clearly, I'm going to say, come to me if you like, Farrell HR. But actually, outsource where you do need that support, whether it's HR support, whether it's some finance support. Your accountant may be able to help you with a little bit more around this topic. Equally, an employment lawyer like Safe, if you need the support, try not to do it alone because you may well find yourself in a bit of a muddle and probably taking more time and spending more money than you first planned to.
No, really, really good point. And Saif, what would be your ending tip?
What would largely be to piggyback off Lorna's, frankly, and I think a lot of it comes down to preparation and ensuring that well before you begin any announcement, to ensure that you do have your ducks in a row and ensure that any announcement is well thought out, it's open, it's communicative, and at the end of it, you are ready for any questions that might come about during any consultation period, and ultimately that you do know why you're having to make these redundancies.
A really good point. And last but definitely not least, Linda, what's your ending tip to end the show?
My ending tip would be for the people really who are being made redundant, or something that the employer can then say to them, which may be received well or may not, depending on the circumstances. But I think what is so important to remember, the biggest tip is just keep going with your self-belief. It's not a personal thing. Remember that you do have a lot to offer, even though you probably can't think of it at the time. But take your time, don't make fast decisions, make a plan, work steadily through it, and believe in yourself because it will come out all right in the end.
Amazing. It's very rare that I jump in with a tip, but I am going to. I think a lot of business owners do take things really personally, and I think it's tough running a business. And I think that if you are having a difficult time as a business and you do need to make a redundancy or multiple redundancies, it doesn't mean that you're a bad business owner. Look at Elon Musk, like him or lump him, runs one of the biggest companies in the world and close to bankruptcy in the early stages. So keep going, instruct the right people, and we've got three great ones in front of us today. And there will always be another opportunity. So amazing. Well, thank you so much to the three of you for joining me on today's show. And thank you to you, the listener, for coming back in 2026 to listen to the Business Brunch. It's a real, real pleasure to share so many great professionals with you each and every week. But that is unfortunately the end of the show. But we are going to be back next week with three brand new guests talking about a topic that is going to impact on local businesses. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you would like to see my lovely guest, do look out for the video version which goes out on the Get Radio Facebook page every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing here in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.